Dear congregation, let us turn in God's holy word to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. This is the same song of which we just sang from Psalter 163. Let us hear now the word of the Lord, Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Amen. May God bless the reading of his precious and infallible word. As we continue to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we will also read what we confess in the Belgic Confession regarding the Lord's Supper. If you want to follow along, it's a fairly lengthy confession, but it's found on page 22 in the back of our Psalter. Page 22, Article 35 of the Belgic Confession of Faith, the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe and confess that our Savior, Jesus Christ, did ordain and institute the sacrament of the Holy Supper to nourish and support those whom he has already regenerated and incorporated into his family, which is his church. Now those who are regenerated have in them a twofold life, the one corporal and temporal, which they have from the first birth and is common to all men. The other is spiritual and heavenly, which is given them in their second birth, which is effected by the word of the gospel in the communion of the body of Christ. And this life is not common, but is peculiar to God's elect. In like manner, God has given us, for the support of the body, an earthly life, earthly and common bread, which is subservient thereto and is common to all men, even as life itself. But for the support of the spiritual and heavenly life, which believers have, he has sent a living bread, which descended from heaven, namely, Jesus Christ, who nourishes and strengthens the spiritual life of believers. When they eat him, that is to say, when they apply and receive him by faith in the Spirit, Christ, that he might represent unto us this spiritual and heavenly bread, has instituted an earthly and visible bread as a sacrament of his body, and wine as a sacrament of his blood, to testify by them unto us that as certainly as we receive and hold this sacrament in our hands and eat and drink the same with our mouths, by which our life is afterward nourished, we also do as certainly receive by faith, which is the hand and mouth of our soul, the true body and blood of Christ, our only Savior, in our souls for the support of our spiritual life. Now, as it is certain and beyond all doubt that Jesus Christ has not enjoined us to use his sacrament in vain, so he works in us all that he represents to us by these holy signs through the manners. Though the manner surpasses our understanding and cannot be comprehended by us, as the operations of the Holy Spirit are hidden and incomprehensible, in the meantime, we err not when we say that what is eaten and drunk by us is proper and natural body and the proper blood of Christ. But the manner of our partaking of the same is not by the mouth, but by the Spirit through faith. Thus then, though Christ always sits at the right hand of his Father in heaven, yet he does not, therefore, cease to make us partakers of himself by faith. This feast is a spiritual table at which Christ communicates himself with all his benefits to us and gives us there to enjoy both himself and the merits of his sufferings and death, nourishing, strengthening, and comforting our poor, comfortless souls by the eating of his flesh, quickening and refreshing them by the drinking of his blood. Further, though the sacraments are connected with the things signified, nevertheless, both are not received by all men. The ungodly indeed receive the sacrament to his condemnation, but he does not receive the truth of the sacrament, as Judas and Simon the sorcerer both indeed received the sacrament, but not Christ, who is signified by it, of whom believers only are made partakers. Lastly, we receive this holy sacrament in the assembly of the people of God with humility and reverence, keeping up among us a holy remembrance of the death of Christ our Savior, with thanksgiving, making their confession of our faith and of the Christian religion. Therefore, no one ought to come to this table without having previously rightly examined himself, lest by eating of this bread and drinking of this cup, he eat and drink judgment to himself. In a word, we are excited by the use of this holy sacrament to a fervent love toward God and our neighbor. Therefore, we reject all mixtures and damnable inventions which men have added unto and blended with the sacraments as profanities of them, and affirm that we ought to rest satisfied with the ordinance which Christ and his apostles have taught us, and that we must speak of them in the same manner as they have spoken. Dear congregation, I think of the children here especially, as maybe you couldn't partake of the Lord's Supper, and yet at the same time you could understand a simple illustration like this, I'm sure. Maybe as I could use that illustration this morning about children running around at recess or on the playground or at some kind of sports event. As you're running around, you're creating a thirst, and you didn't realize it while you were running around so much as, but when that bell rang and you had to go into the school, and as the doors were open, maybe your teacher had you line up all in order, and there you were going into the school and you could see the drinking fountain. And there, as you could see it, your mouth and your tongue was so parched, you just couldn't wait to get to that drinking fountain. And as you began to take a drink from that water, something was happening already in your system, your bodily system, and maybe you were even feeling tingling feelings because of the moisture hitting your tongue. And as you swallowed it, your stomach was eased and at peace because of that refreshment. Well, in a spiritual sense, the Lord's Supper also grants unto us that same type of refreshment. As we're busy in this world, we probably don't think about the Lord's Supper every single moment, and we don't even maybe think about being in church and hearing His Word at every moment, and the refreshment that our Lord provides. And yet, as we gather, as we come into His church, as we see the Lord's table set before us, we begin to hunger and thirst for those signs and seals that are given to us to cause us to be strengthened in our faith and renewed. That's a wonderful desire for you also as children to have already in your life, and to be longing for that satisfaction that comes through His refreshment. And indeed, there is great satisfaction. There is great satisfaction as He leads us beside the still waters. And we don't always need to be at the Lord's table to receive that refreshment. We find it even in His Word and in His promises, as our Shepherd makes us to lie down in green pastures and leads us beside the still waters. And there we find this desire, don't we, of all those who seek and long after the Lord, and to drink deeply from those wells of salvation, to eat of the bread of life, and to delight in His abundance. Isn't that what we find in Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2? Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your wages for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, says the Lord, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Well, that abundance is what satisfies those who are united to Christ and are being led beside the still waters. There our shepherd does not provide, as we read in Jeremiah, broken cisterns and muddy pools of water that are stagnant and poisonous and riddled with all kinds of diseases. No, those who are in Jeremiah were those who have committed two evils. They have forsaken the Lord and the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold any water. But our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of his sheep, leads us beside the still waters. He refreshes our souls. And no wonder the psalmist, the Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness, we read these words in Psalm 63, O God, You are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When we think about this satisfaction, then we realize this morning our need. We saw His supply, and now let us meditate on this satisfaction. And the first point of satisfaction, I believe we can consider, is to be satisfied with Jesus Christ Himself as a good shepherd, to be satisfied with His leading and His watchful eye over us, to be satisfied with His power, His sovereignty, His everywhere present eye that looks upon us and cares for us. That's what the psalmist says. So I looked for you in the sanctuary. I looked for God in the sanctuary. Why? To see your power and your glory. In verse 7 and 8, he says, You have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. He couldn't live without the shepherd. The shepherd himself is David's refreshment and satisfaction. He's satisfied with that shepherd. I believe Psalm 139 illustrates this beautifully. In this psalm, we find there the very attributes of God set before us. And here David is saying, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path even from afar off. And there you are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me in front of me and behind me. You laid your hand upon me. All such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it, says David. And where would I go from your spirit? If I go to the east or to the west, if I go up or I go down, wherever I go, your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. Because our Savior, our Shepherd, is all-knowing. because He is all-seeing, because He is all-powerful. Because of these things, David could say, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Such things satisfy my every need. The shepherd himself and his leading and watching eye is satisfaction as he leads us beside the still waters. And secondly, we see that the shepherd's food and provision in a balanced way, in a balanced diet, is what satisfies us. Our shepherd knows what's best for us, and he provides us all things that are best for us. And the psalmist isn't saying, if I go into the sanctuary, I'm going to be problem-free. If I go into the house of God and see his glory and his beauty and what he's done for me at his table, and I go forth, that my life will be problem-free. Not at all. Because he confesses in verse 7, you have been my help. He recognizes he needs help. And therefore I will trust in the shadow of your wings. Your right hand is what upholds him. And there he recognizes his weakness. And so also the psalmist in Psalm 23 here, and as David looks, he says, he shows how he will not want, because he gives him rest and restoration and refreshment and leads him in paths of righteousness. But he also knows that he's going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And he will experience the rod and staff. And he will experience persecution from the enemies. And yet, his satisfaction is in the shepherd's provision. Trusting in him that indeed all things are going to work together for good. Yes, even the valley of the shadow of death. Yes, also the rods and the staff. But he realizes that there in his Father's arms, under the wings of the Almighty, he is cared for and provided for as he's led beside the still waters. Because no matter what turmoil and no matter what turbulence comes our way in the river of this life, we know that our Savior has placed a dam in that river, that we might be led beside the still waters. Nothing can overcome him. And so we are satisfied with his food and his provision in our life, because we're satisfied with his grace. And even when we are completely weak and helpless, as those sheep being swept away in the current, There he also says to us, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. There our shepherd in his provision is altogether satisfying for the sheep. Because our shepherd shows us his work, doesn't he? And so not only are we satisfied with the shepherd and his provision, but we're satisfied with his work. Maybe I can ask us all a personal question here. Are you satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do I ask that? If we're not satisfied with his work, we're going to think we have to add something else to it. And if we're not satisfied with his work, we might stay away from him and say there's something else that has to be added in order for me to know that his work is good enough for me. But you see, the sheep of God's pasture, of our shepherd's pasture, they're satisfied with his work. They're satisfied with his broken body and his shed blood. They're satisfied when they hear those words on the cross, it is finished. And there's nothing that you can add to that salvation that is accomplished through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that has to be added.
And if God is satisfied with the work of His Son, how could we not be satisfied with that work? And I ask you, those who still think there might need to be something more given to you to be saved, He's given it all. He's given His Son. And there He is satisfied with what His Son has done. And He receives Him at His right hand. And there He sits, governing all things. For His Father is satisfied. And we, His sheep, are satisfied. Then we also are satisfied with His leading beside those still gospel waters. Satisfied, fully satisfied. It's not just a partial satisfaction. It's not, I'll be satisfied a little bit with my works, a little bit with the world, and a little bit with Jesus. Not at all. But to be fully satisfied with Him. That's why Jesus says to the Samaritan woman in John 4, if you drink from this water, you will never thirst again. Why is that? Does that mean that those who drink and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith will never become thirsty after Him again? That's not true. But this is why. It's because when you take one drop out of that well of salvation, and when you receive one drop of dew from our Lord Jesus Christ, you are spoiled for life. And you will always long and thirst after the One who has the wells of salvation and who will feed you and nourish you for all eternity from those wells. So if you have tasted of that pure, life-giving water from our Lord Jesus Christ, you will never, never stop panting as that deer after those waters. You will always be looking to the sanctuary that you may be refreshed again and again and again. And you will never let Him go until He provides you with such refreshment. And indeed, then you will never, never thirst again. And that's what the psalmist is getting at. I've gone into the sanctuary, thirsting after Him, that I might see Your power, that I might see Your glory again and be refreshed in my soul, that I might hear of Your loving kindness in the gospel, that I might see Your loving kindness at the table, and that my soul would be refreshed again, that I can praise the Lord my God, and my heart, my soul will be satisfied with marrow and fatness. It will be overflowing. Yes, my cup, it will overflow, says the psalmist. Not only my cup, but my saucer. My whole life will be overflowing with the goodness of God. And that's why Jesus says in John 7, if you come to Me and drink, out of your belly it will flow rivers of living water. It will flow from every direction in our life, because we are satisfied with the abundance of His refreshment. What a glorious truth. He satisfies. He satisfies us. I think of Psalm 46 here. In Psalm 46, we recognize that God is our refuge and He is our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. And there the psalmist, even though the mountains would be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters would be roaring in troubles, though the mountains would shake with its swelling, yet the confidence is in God. His confidence is in the God who is His refuge and His strength. And there he recognizes that there is a river. In verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, he says, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. What's the picture that we receive here? The picture we receive here is that we're satisfied with the abundance because the Holy Spirit is in the midst of His people. In Jerusalem, the picture was the river that made glad the city of God, Jerusalem. And from outside of the walls of Jerusalem was a Gihon spring. And that Gihon spring was channeled through conducts to come up into the pool of Siloam in the midst of the city. And there in this pool of Siloam, you have the picture of that river whose streams made glad the city of God. Because no matter what was happening around the city of God, no matter if the enemies had besieged the city, and no matter how long it was, there was always life-giving water for the city of God. And that river and those streams made glad the city of God. Because there, they realized that God was with her. And God was in the midst of her. And God was going to help her, even at the break of dawn. Though the nations would rage, though the kingdoms were moved, he would utter his voice, and the earth would melt. God was with his people. And so also in the New Testament. And Jesus says that out of our belly will flow rivers of water. He's showing us that the Spirit would be given in full and fill us and overflow from us. And that there we would recognize that God is in the midst of his people, helping her, refreshing her, motivating her, strengthening her, comforting her every single day of their life, no matter what trial, no matter what was going on in their life. As a result, Gilmore pens these famous lines. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me. Yes, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. Therefore his faithful follower I will be. For by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes when Eden flowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still his hand that leadeth me. This is God's leading beside the still waters. Are we following him into those green pastures and beside the still waters? For there is nourishment and refreshment for all who follow him, who know his voice, who hear his voice. And this isn't just for today, but this is also for eternity. For in Revelation 7, verse 25, or sorry, 15 through 17, we read these words. Therefore, they are before the throne of God. They have come through the midst of the tribulation. They have come through it all. Their robes are dipped in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there before the throne of God, they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not smite them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He leadeth me to those fountains in glory forever. Revelation 22, verse 1. We see that glorious vision of the new heavens and the new earth. John sees a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal. It's proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. And in the midst of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Oh, what a river. What refreshment. And what nourishment for all eternity. And it all comes from our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are satisfied with him. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord from Hebrews 13 and go to your homes in peace. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight
through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Grace be with you all. Amen.